With Ross Reynolds, I'm Marcy Silman. This week, the Vatican announced that since 2004, it has defrocked 848 priests for molesting children. More than 3,400 cases of abuse have been reported to the Vatican since that time as well. It's the first time the Vatican's made public how it is dealing with those priests. John Schuster is a resigned Catholic priest. He now works for SNAP Seattle, an organization that helps victims of priest sexual abuse. Schuster doesn't think much of the Vatican's announcement.
It's all PR, like so many things that our current PR pope is doing. Think of all of the countries around the world where there are priests. The numbers are mind-boggling. So that number, it's window dressing, and it doesn't show a real effort to do something.
Former Catholic priest John Schuster, he was speaking about the Vatican's announcement that it has defrocked 848 priests. The Vatican also announced more than 2,500 priests were not defrocked, but did receive penalties such as suspension. One of those priests, Father Harry Quigg of Seattle. On Tuesday, the Seattle Archdiocese made public the fact that Quigg was suspended in 2004 for having an ongoing relationship with a 17-year-old. Quigg's name was not made public at the time, and even though he was suspended, he continued to minister. Joel Conley is a writer for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. He's been following the story. He explained why Harry Quigg was suspended 10 years ago.
An archdiocesan review board determined that he had committed what its members called egregious conduct through having a sexual relationship with somebody beginning, I believe, at the age of 17 and going on for some years afterwards. By being 17, this person was, according to canon law, of legal age. So essentially, the board's purview had to do with the abuse of minors, and this person was not technically a minor. Still, they wrote to the Archbishop strongly recommending that he be removed from the active priesthood. Archbishop Brunet at the time told him he could not practice the sacraments, he could not appear as a priest in public or present himself as a priest in public. He agreed to these things, but Archbishop Brunet, against the wishes of the majority of the board, which included a former U.S. attorney, did not make public the charges against Harry Quigg. And consequently, he continued to function and function as a priest in the years since.
There are a couple of points that are confusing to me, a non-Catholic. First of all, what's the difference between a suspension and defrocking?
In the case of somebody who is suspended, they are essentially not allowed to practice their religious vocation, but at the same time, they are not expelled from the priesthood.
Why did Archbishop Brunet choose not to make these charges and the suspension public?
He was asked to by members of the board, including retired Judge Terence Carroll and former U.S. Attorney Mike McKay, who said this would be a relief to the victims, but they also said that this would be a warning to various parishes not to let this person, again, celebrate Mass. At the same time, however, I think that the Archbishop anguished over this. The priest in question apparently asked him in the strongest of terms not to make this public, and he decided not to. Archbishop Sarton, at the meeting with St. Bridget's parishioners earlier in the week, indicated that he would have reached the opposite decision.
No, Joel, you mentioned that the suspension meant that Harry Quigg was not supposed to perform ministerial duties, his priestly duties, but he did continue to do some of that. What did he continue to do?
For instance, a beloved principal at the Assumption St. Bridget's School suddenly died, and there was Father Harry at the altar celebrating the memorial Mass. At the same time, he was a fairly popular pastor, and certain members of the congregation continued to socially entertain him, call upon him for priestly functions, apparently, and also there was a celebration of the 50th anniversary of his ordination.
Was he around children?
I don't see any way that he could not have been.
Because St. Bridget's is associated with the Assumption St. Bridget School.
Yeah.
Why did this come out this week?
The archdiocese claimed that it had only learned recently that he continued to exercise priestly function. This caused a bit of an uproar at St. Bridget's. Archbishop Sarton, who is a delegator, saw the matter as serious enough that he had a closed-door meeting with about 150 to 200 very angry St. Bridget's parishioners. But essentially, it came out, and it came out in the open because people at St. Bridget's were extremely angry about this. And the small number that actually read the letter that Carroll and McKay and others sent to the Archbishop Brunet 10 years ago were even angrier.
How does what happened this week tie to the Vatican announcement on Monday that it was defrocking the 848 priests?
Pope Francis has established a commission. There is an abuse survivor who is a member of this commission to establish essentially uniform procedures globally for dioceses to deal with, quote, offending, unquote, priests, because you have had in too many cases essentially the shuffling of problem priests from one parish to another, parishes being blindsided, not knowing the past record of people that were assigned to them. And particularly and dramatically in the case of the Archdiocese of Boston in the early part of the last decade, a strong amount of self-protectiveness on the part of the hierarchy, and also the outrageous situation where Cardinal Law, who had presided over this, was given a very comfortable sinecure in Rome when he was driven out of Boston. I think you can take a look at statistics, and you have seen a dramatic, really dramatic, fall off in church attendance, particularly Catholic church attendance in New England, which I think stems from this.
So specific to Seattle itself, what are we going to see in the wake of what Pope Francis has done?
There will not now be a situation where the archbishop cannot act arbitrarily. Bishops are generally kind of the rulers of their diocese, but now there will be procedures set in place that must be followed.
Joel, thanks so much for explaining this to me.
Thank you for your time.
Joel Conley of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. He's been following the case of suspended Seattle priest Harry Quigg. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.